After Mr. Morrison had retired to his own house, and Big Ma, the boys, and I had gone to bed, Papa and Mama remained on the porch, talking in hushed whispers. It was comforting listening to them. Mama's voice a warm, lilting murmur, Papa's a quiet, easy-flowing hum. After a few minutes, they left the porch, and their voices grew faint. I climbed from the bed, careful not to awaken Big Ma, and went to the window. They were walking slowly across the moon-soaked grass, their arms around each other. "First thing tomorrow, I'm going to go round and see how many folks are still in this thing," Papa said, stopping under the tree. "I want to know before we make that trip to Vicksburg." Mama was quiet a moment. "I don't think you and Mr. Morrison should go to Vicksburg right now, David. Not with the Wallaces threatening people like they are. Wait a while." Papa reached into the tree and broke off a twig. "We can't just stop taking care of business 'cause of them Wallaces, Mary. You know that." Mama didn't reply. Papa leaned against the tree. "I think I'll take Stacy with me." "Now, David, no. He'll be 13 next month, honey, and he needs to be with me more. I can't take him with me on the railroad, but I can take him with me where I go round here, and I want him to know business, how to take care of it, how to take care of things when I ain't round."
"David, he's just a boy."
"Baby, a boy get as big as Stacy down here, and he's near a man. He gotta know a man's things. He gotta know how to handle himself."
"I know, but..."
"Mary, I want him strong, not a fool like TJ."
"He's got more brains and learning than that," Mama snapped.
"I know," Papa said quietly. "Still, it worries me seeing TJ turning like he is."
"Seems to me it isn't bothering Joe Avery much. He doesn't seem to be doing anything about it."
Papa allowed the silence to seep between them before he said, "It's not like you, honey, to be bitter."
"I'm not bitter," said Mama, folding her arms across her chest. "It's just that the boy's gotten out of hand and doesn't seem like anybody's doing anything about it."
"The other day, Joe told me he couldn't do nothing with TJ anymore. That's a hard thing for a man to admit."
"He can still put a good strip of leather against his bottom, can't he?"
It was clear that Mama was unsympathetic to Mr. Avery's problem. "Said he tried, but his health's so poor he ended up with a bad coughing spell. Got so sick from it he had to go to bed. Said after that Fanny tried to whip the boy, but TJ's stronger than her, and it didn't do no good."
Papa paused, then added, "He's gotten pretty sassy too, I understand."
"Well, sassy or not," Mama grumbled, "they'd better figure out some way of getting that boy back on the right track, because he's headed for a whole lot of trouble."
Papa sighed heavily and left the tree.
"We'd better go in. I've got to get an early start if I'm going to get round to everybody."
"You're still set on going to Vicksburg?"
"I told you I was."
Mama laughed lightly in exasperation.
"Sometimes, David Logan, I wonder why I didn't marry sweet, quiet Ronald Carter or nice, mild Harold Davis."
"Because, woman," Papa said, putting his arm around her, "you took one look at big, handsome me and no one else would do."
Then they both laughed and together moved slowly to the side of the house. Seven families, including ours, still refused to shop at the Wallace store even with the threat of the Chang Gang. Mama said that the number was not significant enough to hurt the Wallaces, only enough to rile them, and she worried, afraid for Papa, Stacy, and Mr. Morrison to make the trip. But nothing she could say could change Papa's mind, and they left as planned on Wednesday morning long before dawn. On Thursday, when they were to return, it began to rain, a hard, swelling summer rain which brought a premature green darkness to the land and forced us to leave our hoeing of the cotton field and return to the house. As the thunder rumbled overhead, Mama peered out the window at the dark road.
"Wonder what's keeping them," she said, more to herself than anyone else.
"Probably got held up somewhere," said Big Ma. "Could have stopped to get out of this storm."
Mama turned from the window. "You're most likely right," she agreed, picking up a pair of Christopher John's pants to mend. As the evening fell into total darkness, we grew silent,
The boys and I saying very little, Mama and Big Ma concentrating on their sewing, their brows furrowed. My throat grew tight, and without knowing why I was afraid, I was.
Mama, I said, they all right, ain't they?
Mama stared down at me.
Course they all right. They're just late, that's all.
But, Mama, you suppose maybe somebody done? I think you children better go on to bed, Mama said sharply, without letting me finish.
But I want to wait up for Papa, objected little man.
Me too,
said sleepy Christopher John. You'll see him in the morning. Now, get to bed. Since there was nothing we could do but obey, we went to bed. But I couldn't sleep. A cold fear crept up my body, churning my stomach and tightening its grip on my throat. Finally, when I felt that I was going to be sick from it, I rose and padded silently into Mama and Papa's room. Mama was standing with her back to me, her arms folded, and Big Ma was still patching. Neither one of them heard the door swing open. I started to speak, but Mama was talking, and I decided not to interrupt her.
I've got a good mind to saddle Lady and go looking for them, she said.
Now, Mary, what good would that do? Big Ma questioned.
You running round out there on that mare by yourself in this darkness and rain.
But something's happened to them. I can feel it.
It's just in your mind, child.
Big Ma scoffed unconvincingly.
Them men folks all right?
No. No, said Mama, shaking her head. The Wallaces aren't just in my mind. They... She stopped suddenly and stood very still.
Mary?
Thought I heard something. The dogs started barking, and she turned, half running across the room. Pushing up the lock in a mad haste, she swung the door open and cried into the storm,
David! David!
Unable to stay put, I dashed across the room.
Cassie, what you doing up, girl?
Asked Big Ma, swatting me as I passed her. But Mama, staring into the wet night, said nothing when I reached her side.
Is it them?
I asked. Out of the darkness, a round light appeared, moving slowly across the drive, and Mr. Morrison's voice drifted softly to us.
Go on, Stacy, he said. I got him.
Then Stacy, a flashlight in his hand, came into sight, followed by Mr. Morrison carrying Papa.
David,
Mama gasped, her voice a frightened whisper. Big Ma, standing behind me, stepped back, pulling me with her. She stripped the bed to its sheets and ordered,
Put him right here, Mr. Morrison.
As Mr. Morrison climbed the steps, we could see that Papa's left leg stuck straight out, immobilized by his shotgun strapped to it with a rope. His head was wrapped in a rag through which the dark redness of his blood had seeped. Mr. Morrison eased Papa through the doorway, careful not to hit the strapped leg, and laid him gently on the bed. Mama went immediately to the bed and took Papa's hand.
Hey, baby,
Papa said faintly.
I'm all right. Just got my leg broke, that's all.
Wagon rolled over it,
said Mr. Morrison, avoiding Mama's eyes.
We better get that leg set. Didn't have time on the road.
But his head,
Mama said, her eyes questioning Mr. Morrison. But Mr. Morrison said nothing further, and Mama turned to Stacy.
You all right, son?
Yes,
Stacy said, his face strangely ashen, his eyes on Papa.
Then get out of those wet things. Don't want you catching pneumonia. Cassie, you go to bed.
I'll get a fire started,
said Big Ma, disappearing into the kitchen as Mama turned to the closet to find sheets for making a cast. But Stacy and I remained rooted, watching Papa, and didn't move until Christopher John and Little Man made a sleepy entrance.
What's going on?
Asked Little Man, frowning into the light.
Go back to bed, children, Mama said,
rushing to keep them from coming further into the room. But before she could reach them, Christopher John spied Papa on the bed and shot past her.
Papa, you got back.
Mr. Morrison swung him up before he could jar the bed.
Well, what's the matter?
Asked Christopher John, wide awake now.
Papa, what's the matter? How come you got that thing on your head?
Your papa's asleep, said Mama. as Mr. Morrison set Christopher John back down. Stacy, take them back to bed and get out of those clothes. None of us stirred.
Move when I tell you,
Mama hissed impatiently, her face more worried than angry.